Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles. The book of 1 Chronicles, and we want to turn to no man's land. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. You're like, why did you just call it no man's land? Because whenever you read your Bible and you come to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 1 to 1 Chronicles chapter 9, you're in the midst of a bunch of names of, and then all the begats. And for 9 chapters, it goes on. And for 9 chapters, your eyes touch every word of the page. And for 9 chapters, you're slogging through, hoping to get to something exciting. And because of that, a lot of people find that they don't get a lot out of 1 Chronicles chapters 1 through 9. And they miss some nuggets of truth. We're going to find one of those nuggets found in the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter number 4. The book of 1 Chronicles and chapter number 4. And if you don't mind, as you're finding your way to the book of 1 Chronicles, so remember, it's at the towards the end of the middle of the Bible. So you have Genesis, Exodus, then you have Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then after that is followed with Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, followed by 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles and chapter number 4. And we're going to look at 2 verses found in the midst of all of these names. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. And notice with me starting at verse number 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And in verse number 9, the Bible says this. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the Lord, on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand would be with me, and that thou would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And in your habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter number 4? 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, and notice with me in verse number 10, where it says, Jabez called on the Lord, or on God, on the God of Israel. Jabez called on the God of Israel. And if you don't mind, we'll shorten the name of this to the prayer of Jabez. The prayer of Jabez. It is always interesting and important to study the prayers of the Bible, especially the prayers that are answered, and this one certainly was. Let's learn together the prayer of Jabez. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're asking that you would give us grace, that you would give us mercy, that you would give us understanding, that you would open up our eyes, that we could see what you're saying in this passage, and then we could apply it to ourselves. Lord, I recognize I need your help. These are good folks here that are expecting to hear from you, expecting to get something from your Bible that they could put in their lives. And we're praying that through your Holy Spirit, you would get that done. Once again, I surrender myself to you and ask that you fill me with your precious Spirit, trusting you to get your own work accomplished through your precious word. We do love you, and we're thankful for this opportunity to open up your Bible now. In your name we pray. Amen. The prayer of Jabez is found inside of the midst of all of these names in the book of 1 Chronicles. Oftentimes, because it's only 2 verses, and you could see before and after, you got the begats, and then after is the begats, it's easy to miss these 2 verses. And yet, within these 2 verses, becomes one of the most powerful, influential, important prayers that we can pray ourselves as Christian believers. If you don't mind, let's first of all kind of get some context. Who is this Jabez anyways? Who is this guy that we're talking about? We'll dive into his prayer in just a second, but let's just, who is Jabez? Well, what do we learn about Jabez? There's only two verses spoken to him about. What all can we learn in two verses? Actually, quite a bit. We understand that he was a member of the honored nation of Israel. He's a Hebrew person. He's a Jewish person from Israel. So that's something we learn because he's in the middle of the begats. Remember that the idea of 1 Chronicles chapter 1 all the way up to chapter 9 is dealing with the lineage of God's people, Israel. So we learn, first of all, he's an Israelite. We also understand that he's a member of the royal tribe of that nation. It's not directly stated, but in the lineage here, he's from the tribe of Judah. We see that in chapter 4, verse 1. So he's from the tribe of Judah. Remember that it's from the tribe of Judah that Jesus is going to stem from. So he's part of this royal line. Something else that we learn about Jabez here is that he's the worshiper of the one and only true God, the God of Israel. Remember that the God of Israel is a name of God that's used to differentiate which God we're talking about. Many of the people in that society worshiped many different gods. So when you would say, well, praise the Lord, well, which God are we talking about? The God of Israel is a specific name of God to let people know, I serve the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, the God that created everything. This is the God I serve, the one true God, not a false God or not an imitation God, not a replacement God, not a God that looks the same but is not. I'm serving the actual God of Israel. We know something else here is that his birth was attributed to some type of peculiar and unusual sorrow. Notice in verse number 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called him his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. His name was peculiar and unusual because of his birth. There was some event, it doesn't explain what the event was, but there was some event that happened that made his mother sorrowful. And so he was named because of this event. Something else specifically and unusual here is that he was named by his mother and not by his father, which is very unusual in that time. It was the father who would give the final say, the final name. Here, Jabez is named by his mother and not by his father. Some people have kind of associated perhaps something happened to his father during this time that caused his mother. We don't know, but we just know that he's named by his mother, which is unusual, and his name came about because of his birth circumstances. Something else that we see in verse number 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. He was placed at a higher position. He was placed the idea because of his character and who he was worthy of honor. Something else that we learn about Jabez is he was a man of prayer. Obviously, he prayed, but he prayed a very important big prayer, which assumes that he had lots of practice praying other prayers leading up to this. Now, again, think about how important this prayer is, that God is going through 9 chapters of lineage and he stops, screeching stop, and says, this guy had an important prayer. I'm going to put it right here. I want everyone to know this is a prayer. That all about these other people, there's nothing said other than begat, 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 begat. But God screeches to a stop, pause. This guy said an important prayer. Let's put it here. And then we'll go back with the lineages. Again, where this prayer is located shows that this is an important prayer. God thought it was so important to stop an entire lineage. Stop. He prayed this prayer. I want everyone to know about it. And then let's continue on. Think about that. We also learned something about Jabez is that he was an ambitious man. We're going to learn about his prayer, but he desired more territory, more influence, greater responsibility, which are all right and good in their place. He didn't want to just have a status quo. He didn't want to just say, well, I'm good where I'm at. He wanted to advance forward, and his prayer shows that. Now, that's pretty good for just having two verses, learning quite a bit about this guy from two verses here. Now, with that, let's learn a little bit more about his prayer. That in this prayer, Jabez had four requests. There were four things that Jabez had asked for and asked that God would grant him. And then, of course, we know, seeing the sneak peek towards the end, God gave him these things. So what were these four requests that Jabez made in his prayer? What was so important about this prayer that God stopped an entire lineage just to make a highlight of this before going on? And what are these things, these four things that we could pray in our own lives to advance forward? If you don't mind, let's go through it bit by bit. The first thing that he asked for was that God would bless me. That God would bless me. Notice again in verse 10 as we see the actual prayer. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." So the first prayer request is that God would bless me. In the sense right here, the word bless carries the idea to ask to impart supernatural favor. So when he's saying, "God bless me," we know that in a sense, God has blessed all of us. As long as you're breathing, you're blessed. You're blessed to be alive. You're blessed to be on this side of the ground. You're blessed to be in Wisconsin. You're blessed to have sunshine. There's many of the blessings we have. But the way that he's using this word blessing is he's asking for God's supernatural favor to be imparted on him. God, would you bless me? Would you put your favor upon me? Would you do something unusual, not normal, but unusual? I'm asking for your unusual power, your blessing, your supernatural spirit to pour down on him. What Jabez was asking for is that he wanted nothing less than what God wanted for him. He wanted nothing else than what God wanted for him. Do you know that God wants to hear and answer prayers? God wants to do things for you. God wants to bless you. One of my images I have in my mind is that to imagine going to heaven. And when you go to heaven, they take you on a tour and say, "Let me show you this." And they bring you to a warehouse and say, "Hey, look at all of this stuff in here." And as you start looking in the warehouse, you start going, "Wow, I could have used this. And I remember I could have used this. And this would have been nice. And this would have been nice." And turning around to the angel and saying, "Why'd you show me all this?" He says, "I was just showing you what God had prepared for you that you could have had, but you never asked for." Wouldn't that be horrible? God wants to give us things. God wants to bless us. God wants to work in our life. Then why doesn't he? Because we don't ask. One of our biggest failures is we fail to pray. We fail to pray for God's favor, for God's wisdom. We fail to pray for things in our life. We fail to pray for influence. We just fail to pray. In fact, the times that we do pray, I want you to think about next time you pray, what you're actually asking for. Prayer in its basic sense is asking, and the answer to prayer is receiving. Most of the time, we are just talking at God. "Lord, thank you for the food. Lord, thank you for let me not die from the food. Oh, I'm going to go to sleep now. Thanks for letting me go to sleep." You know, we have basic prayers that sometimes say nothing. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for this grub. And when we talk to God, "Lord, watch over me during the day," it's generic. It's this kind of floating prayer. And we fail to ask. We fail to ask that God would work. We fail to ask for wisdom. We fail to ask God for energy. Think about your day. You wake up in the morning and you're tired. For those of you addicted to coffee, you don't even bother talking to God till you get the coffee. Then you let it kind of digest and you start. What happens if you say, "Lord, I'm asking and depending on you to give me energy"? If you use the coffee, great, but if you use it without the coffee, wonderful. But I'm dependent on you and not the coffee. "Lord, I need wisdom to read my Bible today. I know that my own setting, I can see words, but they're not going to get plugged in right. You give me wisdom. Lord, help me to do my job confidently and well." That's a good prayer request. Lord, give the boss wisdom. Give the boss patience. Give the boss graciousness today. Lord, help me to have influence in my... You know, there's many things that we could pray for. Help me to drive safely back and forth to work. The most dangerous thing you could do on any day is to drive a car. Lord, watch the yahoos around me. Help them to drive carefully. That's important. You know, we could have so much more, but we don't talk to God and we don't ask. And when we do pray, it's generic. When we do pray, we're not asking for anything. And God could do so much more if we would ask. We could advance a lot further in our Christian life, in our home lives, in our family lives, in our physical health. We all have days that all of us know that we have to work out more, without a doubt. There's no one in here that says, I've got it. I am Mr. or Mrs. Universe. I've got this mastered. Most of us think about working out and we get tired. Lord, help me to have grace to do what I'm supposed to do, even if I don't want to do it. Isn't that a good prayer request? Lord, give me the energy and strength to do what I'm supposed to do, even though I don't feel like it. Lord, even change my feel like it so I feel like doing it. Amen. Help me to have the motivation. Help me to do my work competently and well. Help me to be efficient in my work and not just occupying space. These are good prayer requests. You're like, what does this have to do with the idea here? Well, we're starting off with the idea that God wants to bless us. God wants to answer our prayers. And we're not praying. And we're not praying specifically. We're not asking for anything. And when it's all said and done, we could have a lot more in our life. God wants to give good gifts to his children. But we don't ask. We don't ask. You know, some little kids, maybe like baby princesses, they've learned how to ask for their daddies. Daddy, can I have a crown? Can I have a chocolate bar? Can I have a pony? And you know, and if the father is able to, doesn't he want to give those things to his daughter? He may have to say no to some things for her own good, but if he can, doesn't he want to? Yes. Absolutely. Well, our father sees us as children, and he wants to give good gifts to his children if they would just ask. Daddy, can you help me? Daddy, can you get this for me? God wants to give good gifts to our children. Now, let me remind you that God is not a genie in the bottle. He's not a Santa Claus. He's not our servant. But he is a good father who loves his children and will give us more if we would just ask. So Jabez starts off by saying, Lord, bless me. And the idea of blessing here carries the idea to impart supernatural favor. Lord, I need your blessings. I need what comes from you. I need you to give me what I need to accomplish what you've given me to do. Lord, I'm trusting you to give me the blessing that you think is fit for me. I'm trusting you to give me what I need. I may not even know what I need. Lord, give me, bless me anyways. You impart on me. Again, this idea of blessing is even a specific prayer. Lord, I don't even know what I need today, but I'm trusting you to give me what is necessary to be your servant. I, first of all, want you to bless me. God, bless me. There's a second prayer request that he has here, and this one's good. Notice what it says in verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. He's saying, Lord, give me more influence. More influence. The idea of enlarge my coast is the idea that please expand my borders. Now, he's not talking about physical land. He's saying, Lord, help expand my influence, expand my borders. We all have people that we have a sphere of influence with, people that care about what we say, people that if we talk to them, they'll listen to us about certain matters. Remember that as believers, we can't force anyone to believe like we do. We can't hold up a gun and say, listen, you're going to go to church to me or else. We can't force anyone to believe. So why should anyone listen to us? If we can't force them to believe, what tool do we have? That tool is called influence. And when he's saying, Lord, increase my borders, he's saying, Lord, increase my influence. Help me to have more influence so people would listen to me. Expand my influence so I have more influence with more people. Remember, one of our core doctrines that we have as Baptistic people is something called individual soul liberty. Individual soul liberty states that since everyone has access to God, which we do, that's something we call priesthood of the believer, that everyone have access to God, that because of that access to God, that we have the right and responsibility to find God's will for ourselves. I can't tell someone what God's will is for them. Then how do I convince them what's true, what's not? Influence. Influence. Lord, enlarge my coast. Help me so that way I can encourage them to follow after God. Lord, enlarge my coast so that they'd have a desire to listen to me. So that way when I say something, they take it seriously. Have you ever watched someone with no influence try to tell something important to other people and they just kind of laugh them off? We don't ever want to be that position where people laugh at us. Oh, he's one of those. Yeah. We want to be able to say something that when it's important, people go, I'm listening to them. Think about Lot. Lot had no influence with his family. And when it was found out that angels have come and they're going to pull Lot out and his family and they're going to destroy Sodom with fire and brimstone, he goes and tells his family, God's going to destroy the place. You remember their response? The Bible said that they mocked him. When'd you get religion, old man? Yeah, sure. Fuck, God's going to destroy this place. That's so funny. Ah, yeah. Let's turn back. They laughed at him. They mocked him. He had no influence. Did God bring fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah? He did. Did they perish? Yes. Could they have been saved? Yes, because they were warned. But Lot had zero influence, and they didn't want to listen to him. Do you ever think about how lack of influence that we have? Sometimes we don't say anything to our neighbors because we know they're not going to listen to us. Sometimes we don't say anything to our family members because we know they're not going to listen to us. We don't say anything to our government because we know they're not going to listen to us. Why won't they listen to us? We've lost our influence. We don't have influence. So people don't listen to us anymore. Isn't for the most part in our society Christians a joke? Yes. Why? We have no influence. Now, partly that's our fault because we've lost our influence, that we've done so many stupid things that people look at Christians and like, why should I take you seriously? We understand that. But for us specifically, we should be living a type of life that we're trying to do what's right, and then it's not just dependent upon us, but Lord, enlarge my coast. Enlarge my influence. We want to have to the place that when we go ask the boss, will you go with us to Resurrection Sunday? He says, you know what? I've been watching you. Your Christianity is real. I want to go see what this is about. That's influence. We want to have a type of thing that when we talk about our coworkers and they may be upset, we'd be able to say, you're able to trust in God that they don't laugh us off. But they're able to say, you know what? I've watched how you walked. I watched who you are. Tell me more. That's influence. We want to be able to have such a testimony that when we tell our kids, you shouldn't do that, they actually listen and pay attention to us because of the influence that we have. Now, remember, influence is a tool that we have ourselves, but it is God that grants us influence. And this is the prayer that he said, Lord, enlarge my coast. Expand my borders. Help me to have more influence with more people. So that way, when I try to talk to them about the Lord, when I try to do what's right, they're more willing to listen to me because of the influence that I have. So it's two-part request so far. Lord, bless me. I want your supernatural favor. I want your supernatural blessing upon my life. Lord, enlarge my coast, expand my borders, increase my influence. What a great prayer, and a prayer that we should have all the time. Lord, help me to have more influence with my family members. Help me to have more influence with my neighborhood. Help me to have more influence with work. Let me have even more influence with my government, that when I speak up, this is important. Help me to have influence. I know specifically, if you could forgive a personal illustration, whenever I do a ride-along with an officer on my way to the department, I'm praying, Lord, grant me influence, grant me influence, grant me influence, grant me influence. So that way, when I speak to the officer, they don't toss me out of the car, that they actually speak to me. People have been wondering, how in the chaplain, why in the world, they're confused. Chaplain, why is it that officers listen to you? Because I cheat it. I talk to God. Lord, give me influence. Give me influence. Let them want to listen to me. They have no reason to. If they're the first time they're meeting me, why in the world? Officers are very suspicious people by nature. Because everyone lies to them. And then you want to have this one guy who comes up who's not an officer, who says he can help. Why in the world should they listen to me? Influence. Influence. You understand our influence is important and should be a prayer that we're praying all the time. Lord, extend my borders. Give me influence. So that way when I speak to this person, they actually are willing to listen to me. Influence. So he prayed that God would bless me. Supernatural favor. God would enlarge my coast, extend my borders, give me influence. What else did he pray for? Well, notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 10. And Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand would be with me. Oh, what a great prayer request. That God's hand of favor would be upon me. That others can tell that God's favor is upon me, that God's hand is upon me. This is a wonderful request. You say, what exactly does this mean? Well, that's a good question. We actually see this phrase used in the Bible quite a bit. Let's look, if you don't mind, hold your finger here, but turn with me to Ezra chapter number 7. Ezra chapter number 7. So if you're in the book of 1 Chronicles, it's 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and then after that we come to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter number 7. Now, inside of the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah, over and over you'll see both Ezra and Nehemiah say that God's hand of favor was upon them, that the good hand of the Lord was upon them. And it was something that others recognized, that it carries with it that God has put his favor upon that person, that God has done something special with that person. Others recognize that God has his presence with him. Now, isn't that something you would like to be known about? That's someone who walks with God. That's part of that influence. Why should they listen to me? Because they know I've been with the Lord. They know that God has put his favor upon me. He's put his good hand upon me. Now, we know that it's not a physical thing, that God has not put his hand from the sky. And we know that it's figurative language, but it carries the real meaning that God's presence and favor is with me, and that others can sense it, know about it. In fact, Ezra chapter 7, just this one chapter alone, three different times he recognizes God's hand was upon him. Notice verse 6, Ezra chapter 7 and verse 6. And Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given him. And the king had granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Now, verse number 6 is big. Remember that Ezra is inside of the Babylonian Empire. And Ezra went up to the emperor of the Babylonian Empire and said, hey, can I go home and rebuild the temple? Now, if you're not familiar with history, the Persian Empire was not Christians. The Persian Empire were not Hebrews. They were Gentile heathen believers who did not believe in the God of Israel. And Ezra went up and said, can you let me go back and rebuild the temple? And not only did he let him go back and rebuild the temple, he said, here's some money. That's pretty amazing. You know where that comes from, by the way? Influence. Influence. Why did he have this influence? Because of the good hand of God was upon him. And the king said, there's something to this guy. Notice in verse number 9. For upon the first day of the week in the first month began he to go up from Babylon. On the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. So a second time in the same chapter, it's recognized that the hand of God is upon Ezra. Notice with me verse 28. And it extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before the king's mighty princes, and I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I was gathered together out of Israel chief men to go with me. So Ezra went and talked to the Persian king, and not only the Persian king approved, but all of the government leaders approved. Then Ezra had to go to the Jewish leaders and say, hey, I'm going back. I believe this is what the Lord had go with to me to go. Does anyone to go with me? And people went with him. Why? They recognized God's hand was upon him. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So the question is begged, how do we get God's hand to favor upon us? That's directly in our thing here. How do we have God's presence upon us? How do we have God's hand of favor upon us? How can we have it so people recognize that we walk with God and therefore have influence? Great questions. Well, is it answered? Well, in chapter 7, where we're at, it actually tells us. What was it that made Ezra a ready scribe? What was it that had God to put his favor upon him? Well, notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 10. So in verse number 9, it ends with the idea that the good hand of his God was upon him. Verse number 10, it starts with the word for. All right, for my class, whenever you see the word for, you could often ask the question, why? So what's going to happen is that it's going to answer, why was the hand of God upon Ezra? Why was God's presence upon Ezra? In verse number 10, it says, for the reason, because this is the reason why. Notice there are three things here that say why Ezra had God's favor, God's hand upon him. Verse number 10, first of all, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. The very first thing that caused Ezra to have God's presence on him is that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the Lord. That idea prepared is that he made a decision, Lord, show me more about your Bible. Show me more. How do I have God's hand of favor? Well, it starts off by showing up to a church service and not just saying, well, I'm going to endure to the end. But Lord, teach me something from your word today. Give me something. Show me something. Give me something to obey. I want to learn something about you today. I am anticipating if I don't see anything from you today, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm looking for something. He prepared his heart. What does this mean? It means that when he was opening up his Bible reading Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, before he opened up his Bible, he said, Lord, show me something today. I'm looking for you. Give me something from you. I want to see something from you. He prepared his heart to seek the law of God. Give me something today. I want to learn something. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from thy law. Why did God put his favor upon him? Because he actually enjoyed preaching. He enjoyed his Bible reading. He got something out of it because he prepared his heart. But that's not all. Not only did he prepare his heart to seek the law of the Lord, verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, notice this, and to do it. It wasn't the idea that he was just learning knowledge for knowledge's sake. Lord, give me something to obey. If you tell me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to respond properly. That's part of having God's favor upon him, because they've sought God's law for the purpose of not only learning it, but so that way we're doing it. You know, something changes when you show up to a church service and say, whatever you tell me to do, God, I'll obey. Amen. You know what? God will start doing that and giving you something to obey. If you want to do something, he's willing to. He's got plenty of jobs, plenty of things for you to do, plenty of things to adjust in your life. God will say, well, you know what? You're bitter over that person. I'll take care of that now. You haven't been praying as you ought. I'll take care of that now. You've been being mean to your cat. I'll start changing that now. God's able to start giving you things to do, to obey, to adjust. There are so many people in a church service where they're looking at you like a deer in headlights, and God gives something to obey, and it whizzes right by them. I didn't get anything out of today's service because it's sitting over there. It went right past you. You weren't looking for it. Notice there's a third thing in verse number 10. For Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it in Israel, the statutes and judgments. He says, not only am I looking for something, I want something to obey, but I'm also looking for something so I could go tell someone else. That's why he had God's favor upon him, God's good hand upon him, is because he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. He prepared his heart to do it. He prepared his heart to teach it. He was prepared, God, just use me, whatever you see fit. And because he was a willing instrument, God put his favor upon him. You know, if anyone, it doesn't matter who you are, if anyone started to do this in their life, you'll see God's hand of favor upon you. You'll see God open doors that you never thought could open. You could watch people respond to you in ways that you never thought they would respond to you. By just simply just opening yourself, preparing yourself, making a decision to obey God, to seek for God's thing, and to teach God's word. Lord, who do I need to tell this to? Who do I need to repeat this to? Lord, who do I need to tell someone today that you're opened up as a vessel and God can use you? So as we turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we have the prayer of Jabez. He starts off by saying, Lord, bless me. Give me supernatural favor. Lord, enlarge my coast, extend my borders, increase my influence. The third thing, Lord, I want your hand of favor upon me, which gives the implication he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. He prepared his heart to do it, and he prepared his heart to teach. Lord, help me to be at the place where I have your hand of favor upon me. Help me to be in my Bible. Help me to be looking to see what you have me for today. Help me to obey what you've given me to do. I want your hand of favor upon me. By the way, anyone used of God, that should be your top prayer request. I want your favor. I want your hand of favor upon me. I want your good hand upon me. Lord, I want you to be with me. But there's a fourth thing here. Notice with me in verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me and that thou would keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. He says, the best way to be kept from evil is to be dependent upon the Lord. You know, left to our own devices, we're capable of anything at any time. Every single one of us. And because I'm not wise enough, because I'm not strong enough, because I'm not spiritual enough to keep myself out of trouble, Lord, keep me out of trouble because I'm just stupid. I'm incapable. I think all of us have enough failures where we tried to be good and we still failed. Amen. We tried to do what's right and we still messed up. And that's because we try to do it ourselves. Lord, you keep me out of trouble. Lord, you protect me. You keep me from evil so that way it doesn't grieve me later on. Help me to Help me from making mistakes that are going to come back to haunt me. That's a good prayer request. Lord, keep me back from that. Help me to stay away. Help protect me because I'm not even wise enough to know I'm in danger. There's been plenty of times that we got in danger. We didn't even realize how bad of danger we were in until it was too late. Lord, you protect me from evil. You guard my heart. You guard my mind. You protect me. Lord, I can't do it myself. I need you. By the way, God blesses this humbleness. Rather than saying, Lord, I've got this. Just stay out of my way. I'll show you. I'll live the Christian life all by myself today. Yeah, that's going to be a failure waiting to happen. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. You have to have God in part of your Christian life. You have to have Christ in the mix. God, I need you. I need you to guard me. I can't do it myself. I'm going to say the wrong thing if it's left up to me. We've all done that. Lord, I'm not going to react the way that I ought to if it's up to me. We've all failed that. Lord, I'm not going to have the right motivation if it's up to me. All of those things, Lord, protect me. This is a good prayer request. This is something we can all pray all the time. This is why God stopped, said, pause. Here's a prayer request. I want everyone to know about it. Why? He's placing an emphasis. This is a good prayer request. Notice, if you don't mind, the very end of it. Verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. The one thing about this prayer request is that not only is this what God wants us to pray for, but these are the type of prayer requests that God will answer. Why? Because they're spiritually dependent. What makes one prayer request different from another when we're dependent upon the Spirit? Think about how many of our prayer requests are selfish and physical as regard to spiritual. You know, even in our times of spiritual, Lord, grant me a soul. That's a physical thing that's usually for us. But the idea of, Lord, grant me influence, help your hand to be upon it, all of that is dependent on God, and God gets the credit for it. So many of our prayer requests are physical and selfish. Very little do we pray for spiritual prayer requests. But God blessed this because all four of these requests are all dependent on God. Lord, you bless me. Lord, you enlarge my coast. Lord, you keep me from danger. Lord, you put your hand of favor upon me. It's all dependent upon the Lord. These are spiritual requests. And if you pray for these things, do you believe that God would honor that? Absolutely. This is not a prayer request that only one person can pray and it's only for them. This is a prayer request that all of us can pray these four things and that God can work in our life. Isn't it amazing? You want your prayers answered? Well, here's one that God can definitely answer. This is one that we need to pray for every day and often. And that we need God's influence. We need his hand of favor. We need his protection. We need him to give us his blessings. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308.
800-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.